p.m. But the last time I did that stuff, I was 31 years old. And now I'm 51 years old. So literally steps, I know they got those things you can put on your wrist and you walk steps and you count steps. I'm talking literal steps. One day I decided I was going to count steps, see how many steps I walked in up steps in a day. Well, from 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock, my first break, I counted 500, so I just stopped counting. I can't count that high. But, yeah, it's really weird because I was 20 years younger, and I didn't have no problem doing all those hours, but now it catches up with me, and I need more sleep than I did before. I'm getting old, Brother O'Brien. I'm not as old as you, but I'm getting old. And, I'm glad Brother O'Brien's here. I like Brother O'Brien. Mrs. O'Brien, I don't know, but I like Brother O'Brien. Nah, I'm just kidding. I tease her. We take her home, so one day I'll make her walk. Anyhow, take your Bibles and open up to Job, chapter number 5. Job, is this crystal clear, clean Easton water? Almost guarantee you're not going to hear anything new tonight. Pray for, y'all know Brother D. Philip Antonio. He's been here a couple times to preach. His dad was rushed to the hospital last night and has health issues to begin with, but he has a severe bladder infection, and it's not good. He texted me last night, asked me if we pray for him, and I will, and we did, and hopefully you will too. Job chapter number 5, and we'll see where God takes us. Verse 1, call now, if there be any that will answer thee, and to which of the saints wilt thou turn? For wrath killeth the foolish man, envy slayeth the silly one. I have seen the foolish taking root, but suddenly I cursed his habitation. His children are far from safety, and they are crushed in the gate. Neither is there any to deliver them. Whose harvest the hungry eateth up and taketh it even out of the thorns, and the robbers swalleth up their substance. Although affliction cometh not forth of the dust, neither doth trouble spring out of the ground, yet man is born unto trouble as sparks fly upward. Ain't that the truth? Verse 8, I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause, verse 9, which doeth great things and unsearchable marvelous things without number. And let's pray. Father, thank you for an opportunity to be here tonight. Father, there's no other place I'd rather be but the church house on a Wednesday night. And I pray, Lord, that these folks feel the same. Lord, I pray I could be a blessing. I pray that you would lead my lips, my tongue, and my thoughts. I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would take control. And Father, I pray for those sitting in the pews, Lord, that you would keep their minds focused on the things that are said, and not because I said them, but because you did. And Father, I pray that you'd help us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Job, I love the book of Job, and I've read it, I've studied it, I'm studying it again, and it's quite obvious that I don't get very far because I'm on chapter 5. But if you read in the Job, you know, most people, you ask them about Job, they know chapter 1 and the first couple verses and maybe chapter 2 and maybe the end of the story. But there's a lot in the book of Job. And I can appreciate what Job went through, and I don't think that I'd want to go through all that, losing everything that I own. Now, I've lost some stuff, but all my kids and everything that I own, I don't know that I'm not standing in line to go through that. But there's a lot of nuggets in Job. You got to read, and, you know, I was reading the other day and just came across some things, and then, you know, asking God what he wanted me to preach, and I came across this verse in Job chapter 5. It said, I would seek unto God, and God, and unto God would I commit my cause. This This Bible, not that it really means anything to you, but this was my Bible college Bible. It's got a lot of notes in it. It's got a lot of highlighted stuff, got a lot of underlined stuff. Can't tell you how many sermons I heard about the times that I was in chapel every day and church three times a week, four times a week, depending on what's going on and the notes. But this verse, right underneath it, there's a date. It says May 7th, 2012. And I claimed that verse for my son. And my son went prodigal, and I kicked him out of the house. I claimed that verse that I would commit my cause unto God. That I would commit my cause. What was my cause at that point in time? My cause was my son. I was committing him to God. And I'm not preaching about that. I'm just telling you where this verse came from. May 7, 2012. I wanted to commit my cause, my son, to God. And I started thinking about that as I read it. And I don't want to get off that subject because I don't want to start getting emotional. That word commit means to put or to lay upon. Then I thought of 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Commit thy cause. I'm going to commit my cause to God. I'm going to cast all my care on him because he cares for me. Now, when I was thinking about that cause, folks, we got, is it 2 weeks or 3 weeks? We're planning a revival. We're going to put up a tent. We're going to put up chairs. We're going to put up electricity. We're going to cook some food. We're going to eat some food. We're going to hear some preaching. We're going to hear some singing. That's all going to happen out here, and it has for the last 25 years. I remember the very first tent meeting we had down here. And we carried the pews out of the church and put the pews under the tent. I still don't know whose idea that was, and if I ever find out, there's going to be trouble. But we were getting new carpet. And maybe it was preacher's idea. We'll blame him. He's not here. We figured if we're going to take the pews out to put the new carpet in, we might as well take them down and put them in the tent. It was so hot that Saturday when we put that tent up, the neighbors were bringing us drinks. The ground was like concrete. I mean, it took us we're done by noon now. I mean, we were 5-6 o'clock at night still trying to put up that stupid tent. It was so hot. We didn't have but a handful of guys. And I'll never forget the guy that brought the tent up. He said he had a little straw hat. He was helping. It's hot. I said, yeah, it is. And this lady came out of this house over here with a 12-pack of warm Pepsi. I'm like, ain't that a blessing? Warm Pepsi on a 99-degree day. But she wanted to be a blessing because she knew it was hot out there. What I'm trying to say, though, is we're planning a tent meeting. I think for the next 2 or 3 weeks, that should be our cause. It says, commit my cause unto God. I think for the next couple weeks, folks, and I know we're going to have a 24-hour prayer train, and I'm not taking anything away from that because we need to do it. But that should be our cause to God right now. I want to see revival. I know there's preachers that say it can't happen anymore. I believe God can still do it. I want to see it. But I'll tell you what, if you've never ever been in a meeting where there was just a little taste of revival, you'll never forget it. I've been in those meetings where the preacher can't even preach because the Holy Spirit is so thick. And you can't sow seed when the wind's blowing anyhow. But those meetings are etched in my mind forever. I'll never forget them. I'll never forget David Gibbs standing behind a pulpit in a tent saying one verse. And Bruce Fry singing one song. And the Holy Spirit moved in and 64 people walked the aisle. I told God then, if that's even close to what revival is, I want it. I want to see it. I remember a time where the teen choir was singing in church. One of the teens walked out of the choir, came down to the altar, and started getting right with God, and started getting right with the other teenagers. And the preacher didn't preach that night, and 8 people got saved. I remember being in a church service where the offering was given, and 3 people got saved during the offering. I've been in offerings where people have thrown their keys to the car in the offering plate. That's not a joke. You hear people say it, but I've seen it, and I'm sure, Brother Brian, you've seen some of that stuff. There was a girl in Bible college in the tent meeting, and she said the preacher was preaching and we're taking the offering. And she ran down front and said, God told me to give everything I got in my checking account and that offering. She was behind on her school bill. They said, preacher, what do you want to do? She wants to put all her money in the offering plate. She's really behind on her school bill, a pretty big amount. He said, I am not touching that. If God wants her to put that money in there, he can. Somebody in the back said, what's going on? This college student put all their money in the offering plate. They're behind on their college bill. A voice said, I'll take care of it. I'll pay for her bill. Another one said, I'll take care of next year for her. Folks, we're talking about revival. We just don't put up a tent just to put up a tent. Psalm 85, 6. This verse is on my prayer card that I carry. It says, will thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? You know, August comes every year, and tent meeting is always around the corner. And all I want to say tonight, church, is, as Job said, I'll commit my cause unto God. The who of revival. They said, wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in me, in thee? Revival doesn't happen, folks, because we put it on the calendar. We call the meeting a tent meeting / revival, but revival just don't happen because we put it on the calendar. Revival don't happen just because we put it on the schedule. See, we call it those things. Unfortunately for us, Brother Miller and Pastor Fedena and Brother Hamlin and Brother Harris and the Harris boys, they don't carry revival around in a bottle, and when they show up, they open it up and we have revival. Revival is not man-made. You might have some emotional things that happen, and God's for some emotions, the real emotions. But they don't bring revival with them when they come, and it doesn't leave when they go. I have a book that a friend of mine in Bible college turned me on to, and it's about revivals, not how to have a revival, because we got those kind of books all over the place, and I don't think anybody can tell you how to have a revival, so to speak. But this book is about the revivals that have happened all over the world. And every one of those revivals in that book started with prayer. Not preaching, although I'm for preaching. They started with prayer. But see, the who of revival is the Lord. And we know that revival, God brings revival if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. And there's a word there, it says then. That's a conditional verse, folks. God said if we do all that's in the first part of that verse, he'll do what he said he'll do on the second part of that verse. Then will I heal their land. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. You know, that word humble, I looked that up. If we humble ourselves, and what that comes down to is, really, as I looked at it, was being broken. The idea of lowliness. The idea of I'm unworthy to even be in God's presence. Although he lets me there, I'm not worthy. That word humble. Have you ever been broken? I mean broken. When God takes you to the lowest point in your life, and the only place you can look is straight up, because you are so low, you've been broken, you've been beat down, and there is no place else to turn except look up and say, Lord. See, we do pretty good for ourselves, and you know, God lets us be successful in some things, and God lets us have a little bit of money sometimes. Sometimes he doesn't let us have a little bit of money, but God takes care of us, and sometimes we just think we've arrived. Am I the only one that's ever been like I've arrived? You know, you walk in a church and you're saying, man, they're lucky I come here. You know, if I left that church, it would go to the ground. It might not be those thoughts, but did you ever just think that you've arrived? And God says, really now? You think you arrived. Revival. The who of revival is the Lord. Billy Sunday said this. You say revival is temporary. I say so is a bath, but it's good for you. Charles Finney said a revival is nothing else than a new beginning of obedience to God. E.M. Bounds. How many know who E.M. Bounds is besides Pastor Meyer? if you ever want to be convicted about prayer, just pick up an E.M. Bounds book and start reading it. If you're not right with prayer, you'll put it down after, be not even done with the first chapter. E.M. Bounds said this, every mighty move of the Spirit of God has had its source in the prayer chamber. Billy Sunday said this also, trying to run a church without revival can be done when you can run a gasoline engine on buttermilk. It can be done. The why of revival. See, because we become indifferent. I don't want to say that because I don't know if it's a word. Apathy sets in. Apathy means there's an indifference. You know, when you sit in church or you sit at home and don't come to church because church doesn't really matter to you anymore at that point in time and you're indifferent, you really don't need to go. I don't think I need to go tonight. I don't think I need to read my Bible. I don't care if people get saved. I don't have to work at the church. That indifference, that apathy. When you hit that point, you need revival. You need revival. But see, unless we take it seriously. Now I know everybody's going to be happy and we're going to work. But what's going to happen out there is spiritual surgery. See, I just don't want to have a tent meeting and have a good time. I don't want to come to a tent meeting and the Holy Spirit shows up for a little while. He just blows through. I want to be in a meeting where the Holy Ghost is there from start to finish and you know it's Him. You know it's Him. There's times I've been in services that the Holy Ghost was there. I didn't hear a thing, the preacher said. I'm not trying to sound spiritual, but he was preaching, but I was listening to somebody else. Because the Holy Spirit was there. And no, he didn't talk to me in an audible voice. I'm not that crazy. But see, if you've ever been in meetings like that, you'll never forget it. It'll change your life. You'll long for revival. When I started in evangelism 3 years ago, that's all I wanted. That's all I want. I wanted to have revival. And I didn't even want to be the one preaching where it happened, or I just wanted to be in it. I just wanted to be present. I just wanted to be sitting in a pew when it broke out, brother Stan. I just wanted to be there. You read about some of Finney's revivals. They go on for weeks and months. The town just closes down, and they would all come to the meetings, and people from all over would get saved. I don't know if I told the story, but there was two men in Finney's ministry, Abel Cleary and Daniel Nash, that would go 2 weeks before any of his meetings and go into that town and pray for 2 weeks. They would lock themselves in a room for 2 weeks and not leave and pray for that meeting when Finney was going to come preach. I forget which one of them it was, but one of them was a preacher. And they said multiple times when he would preach, he'd have to stop preaching and get on his knees and pray because he had such a burden to pray at that point in time that he stopped preaching and just went to a prayer ministry. Such a burden for revival. And what happens when revival happens? People get saved. People get convicted. People get the Holy Spirit back in their life. A new sense of obedience happens. I don't know about you, but I'd much rather have all my sin confessed before that meeting starts. I don't want to be the one in the tent that hinders the meeting. I just want to be a participant when he shows up. But I don't want to hinder it. I don't want to be the one that has to get right in there. I'd rather be right before I went there, and then I can enjoy the preaching. Because let's face it, how many of you like to get convicted? Huh? No, we don't like. And most of us won't go to the altar when we're convicted because we don't want people to know that we're being dealt with. Let me tell you, the best place you could be is at the altar. I made a profession of faith in 1993. And I got to Bible college, end of my sophomore year. I walked down an aisle and got saved, and I thought, Lord, I got a lot of explaining to do. People thought I was saved. I thought I was saved. But when God said, do you want to get this settled tonight? The first time he spoke to my heart, I said, what are you talking about? I already been up the altar 3 times praying with college students. I got back to my seat, he goes, do you want to get this settled tonight? Almost like it was my last chance, Brother Stan. Do you want to get it settled tonight? When I settled in my heart, I didn't care who was looking. And I got up there and I prayed and I stood up. And for some reason, Pastor Jenkins caught me walking away. He said, Brother Fred, come here. He said, what happened? I was like, I got saved. Get up here. Pulled me up, told him. It was a big tent. About 1,500 people in that tent meeting. A bunch of college students I went to school with. Cat's out of the bag now. I thought I'd just slip back to my seat, Brother O'Brien, and talk to him later. Sit back down or sing a few more hymns. Brother Hamlin was preaching in Matthew 7 about, depart from me, for I never knew you. And it got my attention. Revival. But see, when all that happens, and all that stuff happens, and people get saved, and things happen, and the Holy Ghost moves in, the end of this verse is the key. That thy people may rejoice in thee. God gets the praise. See, when revival breaks out, it's not man, it's not music, it's not preaching, it's the Holy Spirit and it's God. So when it does happen, the only thing people can say is, praise the Lord. See, he gives us revival so we can rejoice and praise him. If we have revival and we don't praise him, probably ain't revival. You can't have revival and not praise him. the things that he does that nobody else can do. And yet there's people that will look at it and not even consider that it was God. You know, Pastor Meyer was, my brother Renzi and Pastor Meyer had obviously talked about prayer when they went out to lunch, and Brother Renzi was talking about prayer. There was a man by the name of John Hyde, and I know I've told this story. I'm not going to tell the story. But I forget who it was that went to pray with him. And they got down on their knees. And John Hyde said, "Father." And the gentleman that was praying with him, it was in a book I read, said he didn't say another word for 10 or 15 minutes. But they were obviously kneeling next to each other, and he felt tears on his hand. So what are you doing, really? He was listening. He wanted to make sure he was in the presence of God before he ever started praying. See, sometimes we just come down to an altar or at home, we kneel down and we just start praying. He told him, he said, "I just want to make sure I'm in the presence of God before I start praying." Is that how your prayer life is? That's how I want mine to be. We get down and we just start talking immediately. The devil can answer prayers. I want to be in the presence of God, Jehovah. When I read that story, I thought, my goodness, he's just listening for the Father or waiting for the Father to say, yes. He wasn't going to speak without permission. He wasn't going to speak amiss. He wanted to wait until God was there. By the way, John Hyde was known for praying for 36 hours at a time. He prayed so much that his heart actually shifted in his body, and that's eventually what killed him. The doctor said, "You can't do that no more." He said, "I won't stop praying." So I think the authority that he has in prayer and waiting for God to let him know it's okay to talk, or God's listening, or go ahead, son, let me know what you want or what you need. I think there's some authority in that. 36 hours. And we think we do God when we do a half hour at a prayer chain. I can't imagine 36 hours. That's a whole lot of people. He must have had one big list. Probably that old computer paper. All I'm trying to say tonight, folks, is we're going to have a tent meeting. We're going to have a meeting. But I want to have a revival. Hey, I want to have a revival. I don't want to come just sit on a metal chair and nothing happen. Who am I kidding? I'm bringing a recliner over there. No, I'm just kidding. Do you want to have revival? Do you really want to have revival? And will you make the sacrifices necessary to have revival? Commit your cause unto God. Our cause for the next 3 weeks should be that revival out there. We should want God to move in so strong and take over. Hey, everywhere I go, I'm on preachers. When I travel, I say, why do you stop a meeting? See, we set Monday through Friday. Maybe God didn't want to do nothing to Saturday. Because let's face it, it usually takes a couple days for everybody to start getting right with God. It starts breaking up about Tuesday or Wednesday. Things start getting moving. Thursday and Friday, things are really moving. And we're done. Tent comes down, we go home. I'm not against anybody. I'm not trying to make a statement that we need to have a longer meeting. But this happens all over the country. Not many people extend meetings no more. But just maybe this country is cutting God out when we do that. If Finney can have revival for 2-3 months and the Holy Ghost still moving, why can't we? Why can't we have the same things that they had? We can, because we got the same God. We just don't want them bad enough. See, if we can live without revival and we're okay without revival, we will. But I want revival. I want to see it. I want to see the hardest case in the city walk the aisle and get saved. I want to see the prodigal son come home. I want to see the family get put back together that everybody said there's not a chance. I want to see that sinner get right with God and back in church. But that's not going to happen if we don't commit our cause unto God. Oh, we can have meetings all over the United States. But it doesn't mean revival is going to be there. I know we normally don't have an altar call on Wednesday nights. I'm not going to make this really an altar call. But I want to know if you'll come down here and pray for the tent meeting in 2 weeks. If you'll leave your seat and come down here and pray for the tent meeting, commit your cause to the revival out there. You're going to come down. God, I'm giving that to you. Please take control of that meeting. Be with preachers. He sets it up. Be with all the preachers. I'm not telling you to come down here and pray for an hour. I'm just asking if you'll come down here and commit that cause to the Lord tonight. Don't do it for me. Do it for God. And we're not going to have no music, so if you want to do it, you need to come now, because we're not going to wait around. I'm just, the cause is revival. There's a lot at stake.